Well, if you're able to stand, would you stand for the reading of God's holy word? And I'm going back to the to the 11th verse of the 10th chapter of Romans, because I'm going to allude to that in the sermon. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord over all, is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. May the Lord add to our hearts and minds the remembrance of this, his blessed word. Amen. Well, I think it's been an awesome worship service already, don't you? We've had some great music and some great dramatic presentations and a wonderful time of prayer. And today, as I alluded to last Sunday and told you that one of the great goals I have, and I hope I'm able to see it happen here before the Lord takes me away, is to see Lakeview become a church that is known as a place where people find Jesus Christ and are converted. I hope that Lakeview will become a lighthouse church that is carrying the light of God's redemptive love in Jesus Christ to this whole community and even to the whole world. We gather today in a state of greatest joy and security and peace that one can know, because we who gather here today are gathered here as the sheep of the Lord. We know that we're in his fold and that we are safe and that he is going to hold us to all eternity to bring us unto everlasting life. No matter what comes against you and I, Christ is going to keep us. And we will be present at the feast of the Lamb in heaven. But I hope today we are also gathering with a sense of holy sorrow that people we know and love have not the one thing most needful, a saving faith relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing of all. You know, I shared this story with you many years ago. I wasn't invited back, incidentally. I spoke at one of the big churches in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which is the home of Harvard and MIT. And I spent a whole weekend with these people there. And, you know, sometimes you have to tell people the truth. And they may not like it, but you have to tell them the truth. And as I listened around the edge of conversations, and I do listen, I heard them talking. And I said on my last message there that God put a great burden on my heart for that church. And it was one of those, you know, sometimes churches get the place, they think we've really got together. When you get to that place, you haven't got it together. You know, the moment you think that. But I said to them, I said, I've heard many of you expressing anxieties and concerns as to whether your child gets into Harvard or MIT. And I said, yet it breaks my heart that not a single time did I hear any of you express great concern as to whether your child gets into the kingdom of God. And, you know, they can graduate from MIT or Harvard or any other place and not have Christ, and their life is meaningless. I hope we have come to a place, a real place. We're not there, friends. We are not there. But that we come to a place where we have a holy sorrow for the people that don't know the Lord, who do not have the one thing most needful, and that is a saving faith relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm quite specific, as you all know. I've gone over this before, and I'm going to go over it again, so you certainly remember it. Faith is not just an assent. Faith, true faith, is not even just a misty-eyed moment at the altar. True faith is a life that has been committed in its totality to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is involved with what He wants them to be involved with, and it is seeking to honor Him in all they do. The true faith involves the whole of who we are, not just what I believe in my head, what I believe in my heart, and what I believe in terms of how I'll give my life. And so a saving faith relationship with Jesus Christ is so, so important. You know, I try to get my boys to do their homework. Parents ought to be involved and get them to do their homework and get them to do their schooling. But my greatest passion for my sons, and they will tell you this is true, they didn't always like it, but my greatest passion for my sons was for them to know the Lord. And from evidence I can see that is the case today. They do know the Lord. I count them a success because of that. They may not have not much money at times, and they may not be famous in Chattanooga, but I have a sense they are famous in the kingdom of God. Parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters, if you want to have forever fellowship with your loved ones, the only way that happens is in and through Jesus Christ. The greatest investment of your life as a parent or grandparent ought to be spiritual in bringing them to a true knowledge of Jesus Christ and doing all you can to bring them to the place where their life is committed. If you've done that, you've done the best that a parent can do. But I think about our neighbors as well. I looked up the statistics for 2018 to talk about church attendance. Now, I've never said that coming to church saves you. It doesn't. There are probably people who have gone to church all their life and were not saved. Coming to church no more makes you a Christian, like sitting in a garage makes you an automobile. But I want to say this, that if you love Christ, you will come to church. Why? Because when you love Christ, you love the things He loves, don't you? And when Christ was talking about marriage, He made an important point that went beyond marriage in the book of Ephesians when He said, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." So if my Savior loves the church, I too should love the church. And I, too, should give myself for it. And that's true for you, too. It's not just for preachers. It's for everyone. And that we seek to serve it. Churches are not perfect. I always tell people, if you think you've found the perfect church, the moment you join it, it becomes imperfect. I am not perfect. Some years ago, I was going to Dallas, Texas, with the old minister who was preaching when I got saved. I was carrying him out there with me to visit his son, and I picked him up, and he said, "Gerald, I had made a list of your faults, and I thought we'd discuss them on the way." And he said, "But then I realized we were only going to Dallas and not San Francisco." He was more right than he knew. He was joking, but he was more right than he knew. But I love the Lord. And you all love the Lord. I see it in you. I've been around enough to know it. And that makes us right. But when we come to love the Lord, we'll love His church. And we want to see people incorporated by true faith, not just by joining. We're not about numbers here. If you come about numbers, you're mistaken. We are about being involved with people's lives and their souls. But I will tell you this, as a person does not come to church, they are not right with the Lord Jesus. It may be out of ignorance, it may be out of willfulness, but they're not right with the Lord. Statistics tell us, listen to this, 53% of Americans seldom or never go to church. That's a big chunk of people, isn't it? That's a big chunk of people that evidently don't have a strong faith relationship with Christ. Now, you know, sometimes we get angry at those people. Our reaction ought to be just the opposite. Not anger, but sorrow. Not putting them down, but trying to lift them up. Not disassociating ourselves from them, but of them above all, reaching out to in love and friendship. How is it? Jesus said there was a shepherd who had 99 sheep and they were all safe within the fold. But then there was one little sheep lost from the fold. And the shepherd left the 99 that were safe and went out and he searched and he searched and he searched. Till he found it. Recently on Facebook, I shared a post, a lot of garbage on that thing, but there's opportunity to be some good things too. There was a little lamb stranded on a rock. Did any of you see that? With these two, a big cliff all around it, and it said that something to the effect that the lost lamb never was important to me until I was that lost lamb, you know. And we are so grateful and thankful when the Lord comes and touches our life and causes us to come to faith and causes us to commit our life to Him. And I'm thankful He saved me. Are you thankful that apart from anything you'd ever done, there's nothing about you that merits salvation? Are you glad He saved you? Well, of course you are. Of course you are. But as we are saved, I always remind us that we are saved for a holy purpose. Have any of you got a family member that doesn't really have faith? I do. I have someone very close and precious to me. My brother. And we're both getting on in years, and I become more and more anxious for him. But I am not merely anxious for him. I am witnessing to him. I am talking to him. Sometimes those conversations are painful, aren't they? You feel awkward entering into it. But I told him, I said, you know, I love you. You're a precious brother to me. You are always the best among us. Sometimes that's the hardest people to reach, you know, is the good people. I said, I hope it wasn't anything in my life that discouraged you from faith, because there was probably a lot before I got saved that could have. I repent of that. But we sat over a table when I was home, and I said, you know, your wife loved the Lord. She's in heaven with Jesus now. Our mama and daddy loved the Lord. But unless you surrender your life to Christ, when you die or when I die, you have seen us all for the last time. Now, that's the truth. That's Bible. Not everybody goes to heaven. In fact, very few go to heaven. And those who go to heaven are those who know Christ through true faith. And I'm praying for him all the time. I've got other friends here in this community. I know they're lost. I'm not judging them, but the Bible tells you the qualities in a believer's life. And I love those people. And I talk to them. And I want to see them saved. And you know what? Here and there, in faithfulness, I've seen God do that. Get this. You people are the machinery that God has put in place to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who are lost in their sin and trespasses. It's not going to be any other machinery put in Lakeview but you. And I hope that we do have a burden for that. And in the next series of messages, if God grants me life to preach them, I want to encourage the whole church gathered here to be seeking to save the lost. If God called you home today, and He would say to you, Clyde, I want the name of just one person that you led to faith in my son. What if God asked us all that question? Could we have an answer? Could we name a name? I've often said that, what's that big pyramid company? Some of you may sell for it. Real popular. Huh? Amway. I said that if the church were Amway, it would go broke. The point I'm stressing today is that I know with all my heart that God wants Lakeview to be a people that are consecrated to His mission of seeking and saving the lost. That was His mission, and if it was His mission, it is our mission. As I alluded to last Sunday, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring us to a knowledge of the Lord. Paul asks in this Romans text today a profound question. Says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, he's just not talking about people that are in my vocation. He's talking about all of us. You have opportunities to reach people that no preacher will ever touch. You ever thought about that? You're involved right now in intimate and close friends and relationships with people that are lost that I'll never have that relationship with. And you are the ones. You are the ones that He calls to share the gospel. No doubt about it, there are people that every time they see me coming, they say, oh, Lord, here He comes. And He's going to keep coming. He's going to keep coming. And you should too. When we were living in Cleveland, Tennessee, sometimes you have to be tough, you know. The devil works on my kids just like he works on yours and just like he works on me. And I'll never forget my son Gerald was still in me. My boys lived in me for a long time. You know, I never complained about it. I loved having my children live with me. They could still be living with me. I don't know where we'd hang them, but they could still be living with all their family. But I'd just be delighted if they'd call them and say, Dad, we've decided to move in with you, all of our kids. And I'd be fine with me. I don't know how it'd be with Elizabeth, but it'd be fine with me. But the point is that when we were in Cleveland one Sunday morning, Gerald got up, my oldest, and he said, Dad, I'm 24 years old, and I think I'm old enough to decide whether I want to go to church or not. And you know, he was absolutely right. He was absolutely right. And I said, why, sure, son, I agree 100%. You're indeed old enough to make that choice. He says, well, I'm not coming to church today. I said, fine. I said, but while I'm at church, I want you to be gathering boxes and packing up your stuff because when I get home, I want you out of this house this evening because everybody that lives in this house goes to church. That was a risk to say that, you know. He needed to hear it. And I looked up from the pulpit that Sunday, and there he said, You've got to love children spiritually and passionately. If you don't do everything you can, you fail. You know that? And the same is true of our neighbors. Got a gentleman right here in our neighborhood that he needs the Lord. And I'm going to be his friend as long as I can be his friend. And I got other people that way. You see, Jesus wants us to be missionaries. Dr. Spurgeon said it right. A church is a soul-saving company, or it is nothing. See that up there on the board? The church is a soul-saving company, or it's nothing. I lived in Lexington. There was a little Baptist church, and it wasn't a very big church, and it wasn't growing very fast. And then there was another one of these mega churches growing like crazy. But one thing I knew about the little Baptist church, it wasn't concerned about numbers. That little Baptist church was concerned about souls. I knew it was a real company then, you see. Friends, I want you all to be out seeking that which is lost. Your friends. Don't let your friendship be wasted just on social things. If there's a friend that doesn't know the Lord, spend time with them and talk to them. This may sound like an overwhelming calling. It is the calling of the Lord. It's not Gerald Sanders. I guarantee you that this is what God wants for Lakeview. I can guarantee it. Not because I've said it, but because the Word of God says it. But I don't want you to be intimidated or afraid in this ministry. And for the next few Sundays, I'm going to show you the promise of God's power from His Word, the promise of God's power that will rest upon you as you take up the real ministry of the church. Church wants social justice, but that's not the ministry of the church. It'll be an effect of the church. The real ministry of the church is to do all that we can to bring people into a living faith relationship with Jesus Christ that do not have it. When I first came here, I asked you to pray for 5 people. Are you still praying for those people? Have any of them come to the Lord? Have you talked to them about the Lord? Or have you forgotten about it? One thing is Sanders is have very long memories. Janet, when you come to visit me in the nursing home, I'll feel so sorry for you because I'll be telling you about stuff that everybody else wishes I'd forgotten. But, dear friends, do you feel a burning in your soul this morning? Do you feel a heartfelt compassion this morning for your friend or your family, that if the Lord called them tonight, you've seen them for the last time? Lord God, give us a holy fire within our souls, something that moves us, something that moves us. One of my favorite gospel group, you probably never heard of them, is the Blind Boys of Alabama. You come by my office a lot of times, you'll hear them singing on my machine. And they have a song in there that says, when God speaks, you got to get moving. And if He's really speaking to us today as a church, we are going to get moving. We're going to reach out and love that lost person. We're going to become friends with them. We're going to sit down with family members and say, I love you with all my heart. The greatest gift I've ever had is a true faith relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to have that because I want to be with you in heaven. How How shall they hear without a witness? They're not getting it on television. How shall they hear? Let us announce the word of the Lord as it comes in verse 13. That's our job. Whosoever will. That's a wide net, isn't it? Whosoever will. Come. 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 As a side note, there will never be a greater joy come into your life than when the Lord uses you to be the bridge from someone coming out of the world of death and darkness into the world of light and life. I have never had anyone love me more dearly than those God has used me to bring to faith. I still hear from them. Some are in heaven. And that's the greatest joy any of us can know, because we've made a difference for eternity. Church, it's time to take the equipment out of the shed and put it to work. And next Sunday, from the Word of God, if I live, I'm going to give you some great promises from Scripture to encourage your heart as you seek to say to the world, whosoever will. I tell you, when Lakeview starts to do that, God's glory is going to shine on us. He's going to bless us. You know, if the people within a quarter square mile of this church that didn't go to church anywhere got saved and came here, you know what? We'd have to build a new building, Mike. And you know what? If God does that, we'll have everything we need to do it. We're in the soul-saving business here. Amen.